Hi, this is Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing. Stacy, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay,
hi,
good. Well, I'm so glad that you're on. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Okay, well, I've been really looking forward to having you on because I love this book, Winston Chu and the Whimsies. Woo!
Thank you so much.
Isn't it fantastic?
It was fun to write. Oh,
I want to tell everybody the cover of the book is so great. I love it. I think it's terrific.
Thank you. I love the cover, too. I really came out just the way I wanted it to. So I'm very, very honored.
Well, while I was waiting for you, I was telling my listeners, of course, that you are the founder of the We Need Diverse Books. And this book, of course, is celebrating Chinese mythology. So tell us about this book. You know, one of the things I think everybody relates to, and it's so funny that when you wrote this book that you included a cooking academy. Everybody has this dream of going to a cooking academy. So tell us about Winston Chu.
Yeah, so now that makes me think, do I have a dream of, I must have a dream of going to a cooking academy if I wrote about it, right?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe somebody would want to go to a cooking academy. So Winston Chu actually is at the cooking academy because his mother knows that he has a little bit of an impulse problem and hoping that the cooking academy will help him to be more thoughtful about his actions. You have to be precise when measuring ingredients. You can't, like, be impulsive in a kitchen, right, whether it's stoves and ovens. So he ends up baking a cake that he wants to bring his mother for the deathiversary, is what he calls it, which is the anniversary of his father's death, who died 3 years. And he decides, because he's a little impulsive, that he's going to skateboard home with this pie. And the pie ends up accidentally, or not, pieing some would-be criminals in the face. And the owner of the store, which he never noticed before, comes out, and to reward him for saving his store from being broken into, he allows Winston to choose one of the magical items on the shelf. And this is like every kid's dream, I think, wish fulfillment, right? To be able to choose any magical item on the shelf. There are things like flying pinatas or fuzzy ukuleles, which put everyone in a good mood. But because he's impulsive, he ends up choosing a broomstick, which is a really old and dirty broomstick. But at least it comes with a free dustpan. And then it starts stealing his stuff, including his baby sister.
I thought the idea was so clever. And, you know, when I said it's everybody's dream, you know, you watch all these cooking shows and contest shows, cupcake baking shows, people win, you know, money. And when I got the urge was years ago when I first saw the Sabrina, where she goes to Paris and she, you know, goes to a cooking school. And of course, and exactly what you said, you have to learn how to break that egg correctly. And you have to really be careful if you want that souffle to rise.
So absolutely.
I thought it was perfect for Winston.
Yeah, I think, you know, the thing with impulsivity is it's something that you develop. I mean, you learn with age not to be so impulsive, I think. That's something you can sort of grow out of. But there's also some good points to being impulsive, too. I mean, actually, and he doesn't want people to know that. So
we won't tell anybody.
To Bennett, this story is not about you. Oh. But having said that, it is about my son, who always is on the go, was a very impulsive child, really could not understand the idea of look before you touch, you know, touch with your eyes and not your hands. But that same impulsiveness that he has really makes him a good soccer player. To be honest, he's a great soccer player. And I think it's because he's not afraid to leap when he needs to leap. So there can be good things.
Well, there's so much in this book that I think, well, of course, it's for middle grade. I think any adult will get a kick out of it. Listen, parents, get this book for your kid and then sneaking away and read it, because you're gonna it puts a smile on your face.
Thank you. I do myself love reading middle grade. I love middle grade fiction. I just love the humor in it. I love all the, like, they're not afraid. Those books are not afraid to be ridiculous. And I love that. The whimsical and the ridiculous, that's me. So it was fun to write and hopefully fun to listen to. The audiobook, I was just listening to it. And the narrator is just, he's awesome. He brings the funniest touches to all the voices. So I find middle grade completely entertaining.
Well, you know, and that's from somebody who is a lawyer, right?
Yeah.
So you came along as a very serious writer, a very serious person, a lawyer, and now you're writing very funny, very silly, middle grade, which is so joyful.
I don't know if I was ever serious enough to be a lawyer. I don't know. I feel like law was something I did because I needed a profession that would pay the bills, and it certainly paid the bills. I think, though, law was not really a natural fit with me in many ways. I'm someone who very much cares about, I don't know, harmony and people getting along and peace and non-confrontational, completely non-confrontational. But when you're a lawyer, you have to be someone's advocate, right? And sometimes that does not, non-confrontational person does not work in that profession. So as far as I think that part of me that always wanted to write eventually made itself known. I was always writing ever since I was a kid. So that was just something I truly just love to do. And, you know, you can only stifle things like that so long. So for me, after I was able to get a solid start in life and make some money, and then I was able to take some time off and really dedicate myself to writing, which is really what I love to do.
Well, you broke loose and you blossomed.
I broke loose.
And blossomed, because
thank you.
You're really so, it's so, I just get a kick out of you. I think you're so terrific. And I do love, you know, of course, this is diverse voices, and you're Chinese American, but I mean, I like, you know, the idea of, you know, all of this diversity, because I mean, it was always seemed natural to me. I always wanted to know about diverse voices. I always wanted to hear stories from other countries and mythology from other countries. This is part of the joy of living, to learn about other cultures. And that's why I think when I was very young, I determined that I was going to travel all over the world. And I did, because I wanted to know more.
Mm-hmm. I really appreciate that you say that, because, I mean, so much of the conversation from my perspective is not seeing enough of people like me on bookshelves, and feeling like there was a space missing, that our bookshelves just did not represent our communities. And that became even more important when I started having kids. But I think the other side is that for the kids of the majority, they don't get to learn about other cultures, and that can lead to, like, stereotypes about it. But, you know, learning about other cultures is how we learn that we have actually so much more in common than we think we do with these other cultures. So thank you for saying that.
You know, the funny thing is, particularly, I have to say, you know, this might not be, I don't know where she stands now, Pearl S. Buck, in, you know, politically correctness of writing about Chinese, but she loved China. And when I read her, I was obsessed with her books when I was young. You know, I'm talking 12, 13, 14. And to tell you the truth, I wanted to be Chinese.
Oh, wow.
There I was, blonde with braids in northern Michigan, and I dreamt about being Chinese. I wanted to be Chinese.
Wow. My dad was a big reader of Pearl S. Buck, too. I mean, the first book that I ever saw myself in was The Five Chinese Brothers. And that is, now we look on that book and realize how problematic it is. It contains, like, pretty gross stereotypes. And it's written by Claire Hutchett Bishop, I think. and illustrated by Kurt Sweet. And, you know, when I saw that book, I was like, man, there are Chinese people in this story. This is like the coolest thing ever. I love that book. I took it home. I might have even tried to steal it by writing my name inside the cover, hoping the librarians wouldn't notice, you know, that. Or maybe think, oh, this book doesn't belong to us. It belongs to someone named Stacy. But I really love that book, and that just shows you, like, the importance of you seeing yourself. Even though it was a problematic book, it's the only book I had, and I really, really loved it.
Well, I think you've done just a marvelous job with all of your writing. You are, when you first got your first starred review, what was your first starred review for?
It was for Up the Sky, which is was my first book, and that was the book that was probably the hardest, definitely the hardest to get published. That was a book where I wrote the manuscript. I got my agent. My agent said, "Stacy, this is going to be an uphill climb. I just need to let you know this up front. This is going to be really hard to get this sold because it's not what publishing was looking for." But it was a story she felt should be told. So she was willing to give it a shot. And we submitted it to like 29 publishers before the last one was like, you know, we're going to give this a shot. And so that was back in 2013, I want to say. And it was published in 2015. And I don't think publishing really knew what to do with this book. But that was my first star review. I really appreciated that. And I still, Under a Painted Sky is still the title that gets me the most emails.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, it's a great book. You're a great writer. And now you're with Rick Riordan. And Rick Riordan, yeah. Isn't he wonderful?
He's wonderful. He's wonderful in that he has used his power. He's magical to my kids. My kids grew up with him. They love Percy Jackson books, and I somehow am now elevated in their opinion because now I write these books with his imprint. He's just so supportive of like writers, the writers of color, the writing community. What he's doing is a fabulous thing. Yeah.
Well, everybody, really get this book. It is called Winston Chu and the Whimsies. It is a fun book, and I'm telling you, if for every kid in your life, get this book, get it to them now, and then sneak it and read it for yourself. But, you know, if you don't have a kid in your life, there are children in hospitals, in a hospital near you, or in one of the other Shriners and in St. Jude. They need books. Just order one online and send it to a hospital near you, because it is so important. Children need books, and boy, oh boy, a kid getting this book, although if they have stitches and they're laughing their heads off, I don't know if that's so good, but... But they will. They will love this book. It's a wonderful. And Stacy, you are just wonderful. You are. I think all of that joy and love that you have for kids and for people and for life shine through in your books. They are really great. And I'm so happy that you were on Joy on Paper today.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciated talking with you, Joy.
Okay. Bye-bye now. Bye.
Bye.
All right, everybody, it's online, and you can also check out her website, Stacy Lee, at Stacy with a E. So Stacey, Stacy Lee. And she's funny. She's just funny. The books are great, and I just love it. This one, Winston Chu and the Whimsies. It's funny. It's great. And I hope that you will get it. It's really funny. And again, thank you so much to Rick Riordan for sending it to me, because he is so great. And as she said, Percy Jackson, well, so many kids grew up on Percy Jackson. And that's just a wonderful, wonderful thing to do, to read a book and to laugh your head off once in a while. She wrote The Luck of the Titanic, which is a wonderful book. And it received 5 starred reviews. Now, that's a lot of starred reviews. Do get her book. She's hilarious. Bye-bye now.